is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and bad actors throughout what is the world island, Eurasia. We begin with Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal, watching the large conflict from the Hindu Kush to the Mediterranean. And Ambassador Hossein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, to comment on a terror attack in Pakistan. We begin, however, in Somalia. This is East Africa, and the U.S. has been engaged in this part of the world since the late 20th century or before. But right now, Bill has a very helpful metric on his site about AFRICOM using airstrikes, a.k.a. drones, in some way to inhibit or intimidate or drive back the advance of al-Shabaab. Bill, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I recall the days of many strikes in Somalia, but now you report the second this calendar year after 15 in 2022, AFRICOM Associated, U.S. Africa Command. What is the mission for these airstrikes into a land that is profoundly unsettled? Good day to you, Bill.
Hello, John. Good day. Yes. So the U.S. military, remember, under the Trump administration, disengaged from Somalia, pulled out the 800 advisors and special forces personnel back in, I believe it was 2020 when that happened. And President Biden put them back in earlier this year. So, but prior to the withdrawal, the U.S. in 2019 launched over 60 strikes against Shabaab. And these strikes are generally targeting, you know, they're talked about in a lot of circles as being counterterrorism strikes, but what they actually are U.S. strikes in support of Somali military operations. So they'll call these defensive strikes. Basically, the Shabaab military the Somali military engages with Shabaab. They get in trouble. They call in the U.S. The U.S. launches strikes in order to save the Somali forces that are coming under heavy fire from Shabaab. So it tells us a lot of things. It tells us that, this is a military fight. Shabaab isn't just a terrorist organization, just like Al-Qaeda, just like the Islamic State. They have a military component. Remember, their goals are to establish local emirates in order to reestablish the global caliphate. And Shabaab is fighting for its local emirate. Terrorism is merely a tactic. So, back to the numbers, right? You had 60 in 2019. It went down to 44 in 2020. And then it decreased to 11 in 2021. Last year, they kicked back up because U.S. forces were redeployed. And there were two strikes in central Somalia just over the last week. And these were launched against, and this is where the Somali military is attempting to retake ground that Shabaab controls. And Shabaab is controlled anywhere from, a U.S. general said several years ago, 25% of Somalia. I estimate it's probably more like 40% at this point. That's central and southern Somalia. So that's what the U.S. military is trying to assist the Somali military, but they don't have anyone on the ground. This information is passed through. So it's a very precarious situation that could set the U.S. military up for a strike that might unintentionally kill civilians.
And right now, it's too early in the year to know if the pattern of airstrikes that we saw in, say, 2019, more over 50, is going to be reawakened in 2023. There's no indication at this point of how much air will be used. Is that correct, Bill?
That's correct, John. I wouldn't expect it, given that U.S. Air ground controllers are not on they're not there, yeah, that they're having to get this information from Somali military. I would suspect that the U.S. is going to be very, very careful about where and when it launches strikes. So I'd expect that number to be lower, even though we've re-engaged.
We stay in the Indo-Pacific basin. However, we go immediately to Pakistan and are joined by the former ambassador to the United States, Hossein Haqqani, for explanations about a massive attack. There are photographs up right now against a mosque in Peshawar. The very large city halfway, to my understanding on the map, between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Mr. Ambassador, a good day to you. This attack, as of now, according to the Washington Post site, there's no claim of responsibility. There's even the suggestion that rather than a suicide attack with a man or several people wrapped in dynamite, it might have been explosives planted. The photograph shows the back wall of a mosque blown out entirely. What do we know about this attack, and what does it mean for Peshawar? Good day to you.
Good day to you. The attack in Peshawar is essentially the work of groups that have been doing similar attacks in Pakistan recently. The return to power of Taliban in Afghanistan has empowered the Taliban in Pakistan, and some of the splinter groups of the Pakistani Taliban have very hardline views about who is and is not a Muslim. So this mosque was frequented by police officers, and basically 46 people who have been reported dead until now, many of them are actually off-duty policemen offering prayers. To think that somebody who acts in the name of Islam will target a mosque and will kill people who are not even from another sect. These are Sunni Muslims. This is a Sunni mosque. It's not like other attacks in which they have attacked Shia mosques or Ahmadi mosques. So this basically reflects a belief among the hardcore terrorists that they can attack anybody who they think is obstructing their path to creating an Islamic Emirate in Pakistan, now that an Islamic Emirate in Afghanistan has been created. It is a major security dilemma for Pakistan at a time when Pakistan thought that after years of helping the Taliban, it has secured its connections with Afghanistan. That hasn't panned out. The country's economy is a mess. And now these extremist terrorists are actually attacking deep in the country and targeting security officials.
If I understand correctly, these are policemen. These are not men in the army or the counterterrorism units to strike into a Taliban a territory. Their job is a public order. Is that correct, Mr. Ambassador?
These are regular policemen, but obviously some of them do process cases of terrorists or people associated with terrorist groups. The purpose is essentially to strike fear. Remember, all Islamist terrorist groups have a maxim that our job is to strike fear into the hearts of the unbelievers. And so here, it's an attempt to try and intimidate law enforcement all around, especially in the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province, which borders Afghanistan, and where former Prime Minister Imran Khan and his supporters have ruled for several years now, don't try to come after those who are trying to make an Islamic Emirate. And that is the goal. The reason why we have not had a claim of responsibility immediately is because when your job is to strike fear, you don't necessarily want to take credit for striking that fear. People will be scared anyway.
Bill, we go to the Sahel, the rim of the Sahara Desert, to Mali in West Africa. The Group for Support of Islam and Muslims, which translates into JNIM, is an al-Qaeda branch. And as I recall, as we summarized where al-Qaeda is at the turn of the year, JNIM was seen as an active and growing one. You reporting here right now, Northern Mali clans swear allegiance to JNIM. So it appears that they are victorious over a land that was in contested by French forces for some years. Is this now regarded as a no-go zone for the Mali government, Bill?
Yes, John, absolutely. That's a great way to put it, indeed a no-go zone. The al-Qaeda branch, like JNIM, it's a subsidiary of al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which is al-Qaeda's branch in wider Africa. It's a very effective organization. And I think what we're seeing here, what happened was that the Islamic State was basically indiscriminately slaughtering people in northern Mali. So the clans turned to JNIM for support, and they swore allegiance to al-Qaeda in return for protection, basically. This is an example. Al-Qaeda and its fellow travelers like the Taliban, and they're very, particularly in Afghanistan and Pakistan, they're very good at playing, and also in Somalia, playing a clan and tribal politics. And this was a big example. I would say that northern and central Mali are now no-go zones. And we discussed this last week. Now al-Qaeda is basically, or JNIM is basically setting up a ring around Bamako of attack. and they're threatening the capital of Mali. And they're, so they've expanded their reach into southern Mali. And then across the border in Burkina Faso, we just had a report from a couple of weeks ago that 40% of the country is under jihadist control, primarily Al-Qaeda, a little bit of the Islamic State. So this is, the French withdrew last year from Mali, and this is going very foul, very fast.
We turn to Pakistan again when we come back, because there is a larger theme introduced by David Miliband, who is now the head of the International Rescue Committee. That is that much of the disturbances that we've been talking about, they're driven by ideology and bad governance and doubt and local warlords. But there's the theme of famine everywhere. And when we come back, famine in Pakistan. I'm John Batchelor.